is 5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Tuesday, December 2nd on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, Juneau's Mendenhall Glacier officially retreats from Mendenhall Lake. But first, a former Kenai church leader accused of sexually abusing or assaulting multiple underage girls died in Alaska Department of Corrections custody last week. Alaska State Troopers say 45-year-old Aaron Scott Merritt was found unresponsive in his cell at the Anchorage Correctional Complex on November 21st. He was pronounced dead 5 days later. Troopers say a preliminary investigation determined Merritt had self-inflicted injuries. His death came less than a month after he was taken into custody. A Kenai grand jury indicted Merritt on 20 felony counts of sexual assault and abuse of a minor in late October. Last month, Merritt pleaded not guilty to the charges. The charges came more than 2 decades after the Kenai Police Department first investigated an allegation of abuse against Merritt. Prosecutors did not charge him at the time, but the department reopened its investigation in 2021 after receiving more abuse allegations and new information. Prosecutors alleged Merritt abused 4 girls between 1998 and 2002 while they attended the former Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall in Kenai, where Merritt was a ministerial servant. According to the state law department, the girls Merritt is accused of abusing ranged in age from 5 to 14 years old. One of those girls was Jerica Hall Santiago. KDLL does not name victims of sexual abuse or assault, but Santiago gave permission to use her name. Santiago is an adult now, living in Florida with her husband and kids. She says Merritt, who she knew as Scotty, began abusing her when she was 11 years old. Her family had moved from the Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall in Soldotna to the one in Kenai, where her grandfather was an elder. Santiago says she already knew who Merritt was when her family moved to the Kenai Kingdom Hall. Kenai is a small town, and the Jehovah's Witness community, she says, is even smaller. When Merritt started sitting next to her in the Kingdom Hall, Santiago says she thought the attention from an older member was flattering at first.
And then it got uncomfortable. And then things progressed to where this doesn't feel right. This feels uncomfortable is the best way that I can put it. And that went on for a while. That went on for a few months.
Then Santiago says an adult witnessed Merritt abusing her. The incident was reported to the congregation's elders, which she says functioned like a nonprofit board of directors.
My grandfather pulled me aside and asked me questions about what had happened. And he told me to be quiet about it. He told me, we don't talk about this. If we talk about this, it brings reproach against Jehovah, and that's not something we do.
Santiago says she realized when she was older, around 15 or 16 years old, that what she experienced had been abuse. Other than a few friends, she says she never reported it to law enforcement. She feared that no one would believe her or that she would be defellowshipped, that is, removed from the congregation. Then, she got a Facebook message earlier this year, asking whether she was aware law enforcement was investigating Merritt. Santiago wasn't, and didn't know that another congregation member had made an allegation against Merritt decades earlier. Santiago said she was ready to speak out.
I found strength in the fact that others were wanting to share their stories, and I was very much longing for the day to share mine. I wanted to be in a courtroom with him. I wanted to share what happened with me. I wanted to prove that what he did back then didn't break me.
Santiago said she later learned Merritt had died in custody through a story published in the Anchorage Daily News. She wishes law enforcement had contacted her and the other women in the case before publishing the information. A Department of Corrections spokesperson declined to answer questions Monday about Merritt's death, including why Merritt was being held in Anchorage instead of Kenai, or what type of inmate surveillance the department uses at the Anchorage facility. According to DOC press releases, Merritt is the 17th inmate to die in state custody this year, an increase from last year's total. Merritt's death also brings the statewide total to just under Alaska's all-time high of 18 inmate deaths in a year, reported in 2022. Of those, about 40% were the result of suicide. That was also a state record. The department has faced scrutiny for the high number of deaths, which prompted an investigation and lawsuit by the Alaska chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. Earlier this year, the department told state lawmakers that staff were taking steps to mitigate inmate deaths, including adding more cameras to facilities, setting up jump barriers, and installing larger windows. Santiago says Merritt's actions permanently changed her life. She hasn't been back to Kenai since moving away. And learning about the case earlier this year prompted her to tell her parents the full story of what happened. She says she's not sure what closure looks like now, but she's thought about revisiting Kenai. The old Kenai Kingdom Hall on Kiana Lane isn't a church building anymore, but Santiago says it still holds significance to her. She also wants to shake hands with the case investigators, who she says finally made her feel heard. And finally, for the first time, Juneau's famous Mendenhall Glacier is not touching Mendenhall Lake, which was hidden beneath a thick sheet of glacial ice only a couple hundred years ago. Scientists say that means the glacier has entered a new phase of its retreat. KTOO's Alex Solomon has the story.
Jason Amundson is a glaciologist at the University of Alaska Southeast who's been studying the Mendenhall Glacier for years. He says it's the symbol of Juneau.
And there's several glaciers around, but when someone says the glacier, they're definitely talking about Mendenhall.
Juneau's City Hall features a panoramic image of the glacier. It's the most striking part of the landscape that travelers see when they fly into Juneau International Airport. It's the capital city's number one tourist attraction, with more than 700,000 visitors each year. For generations, the glacier fanned out across the lake that it carved out, but it's been rapidly retreating out of the lake over the past two decades. Now, scientists say it's separated from the water completely. Amundson flew over the scene in a helicopter about 2 weeks ago.
That was the first time I had really thought, oh, it doesn't look like it's touching the lake anymore. And then there were some photos I saw on Facebook that confirmed it.
But he says the ice and water will probably touch again for brief periods over the coming seasons. Rainfall and snowmelt could cause the lake level to rise up enough to meet the ice. And the ice still pushes toward the lake a fraction in the winter when gravity pulls on the added mass of the snowpack. Aaron Hood is an environmental scientist at the University of Alaska Southeast. He says that despite these expected seasonal meetups, the Mendenhall is functionally no longer a lake-terminating glacier.
It's clear there's a lot of shallow sediments through there that it's kind of sitting on or even perched up above. And so there's just not much chance at this point that it would really have meaningful interactions with the lake anymore.
Climate change has accelerated the glacier's retreat. Between 1941 and 2020, the local mean temperature rose by 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit. In recent years, Amundson says the ice on the lake quickly disappeared.
There was pretty rapid retreat that occurred because there was this shallow, pretty thin area of the glacier that was in the lake, and that broke apart, like where the ice caves used to be.
According to a report by Hood, Amundson and their colleagues shared with KTOO, the glacier retreated fastest between 2007 and 2011. Losing roughly a football field per year. That's because icebergs were calving off at a high rate as the glacier's terminus moved through the deepest part of Mendenhall Lake. Now that the ice isn't touching the water, Amundson says the Mendenhall's retreat could slow down. In the report, the researchers found that parts of the glacier that terminated on rock retreated substantially slower than parts that terminated on the lake.
And so once you get out of the lake, that it's harder for the glacier to retreat as quickly as it has over the last 5, 10, 15 years.
But the glacier is still retreating. Using ice-penetrating radar, the researchers are currently trying to predict when it will reach another lake of unknown size and shape that's currently hidden beneath the ice. And one day, in the not-so-distant future, they say the symbol of Juneau will disappear from the vantage point of the U.S. Forest Service Visitor Center that was built to feature a close-up scenic vista of the ice. Now, it's more than a mile and a half away. Hood says he thinks that will happen sometime around 2050. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Alex Solomon in Juneau. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a great night. ¶¶
The KDLL Board of Directors meets at 5:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at KDLL Studios in the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District building in Kenai and over Zoom. Meetings are open to the public. If you have an item you'd like to submit for board consideration, email info@kdll.org, or if you're interested in joining the board, call 907-513-1996.
On SatNet, you'll hear the result of deep dives into the music library for popular and obscure music from the 50s forward. And just released or soon to be released recordings by both new and familiar friends, I'm Robert Walsh. Please join me Thursday evenings at 7 o'clock on KDLL Kenai Soldotna for SatNet, the Americana Music Catch of the Week.